Welcome to Today's Homeowner with Danny Lipford, your partner in home improvement. Everyone has questions about their home. We've got the answers, and we have a few laughs along the way. Informative, entertaining, and sometimes off the wall. Home improvement has never been this much fun.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show. This is your place to get all the information you need to have the best-looking house on the block. Hey, spring's right around the corner. A lot of planning's taking place. A lot of projects are maybe, you know, you're starting to think about a little bit. Well, we're going to help inspire you a little bit and provide you all of the information you need, no matter what kind of project that you are about to take on. Hey, I'm Danny Lipford, along with my co-host, Joe Truini.
Hello, everyone, and thanks so much for joining us. Yes, Danny, here we are in the middle of March. I think a lot of people are going to be planning their outdoor projects. I guess it was maybe 2 months ago, if you're listening to this radio show, we had given some advice on plan your spring projects now, back in like maybe February or so, because we wanted to make sure that you had ordered your materials because it was taking so long to get materials. If you order them now, here in the middle of March, if you're thinking of ordering materials for an April project, you may be surprised to learn, right, Danny, that the products you want might not be available till June or July, and then what? We're hoping that's not the case.
Yeah, some of the things you would least expect, too, you know, that it's going to take a while to get to market, and I know that the companies all over are working hard to get plants and all of the mulch and all of the fertilizers that you need during this time of the year all stocked up. So good advice, though, to think ahead, and anything that you might, you know, want to be able to get your hands on as soon as possible. Hey, one of the ways that things work here at Today's Homeowner Radio is we want to help you with any kind of project that you may be dealing with, any challenge that you might have in and around your home, and we try to make it as easy as possible. Now, if you like to send us emails, all you have to do is go to todayshomeowner.com/ask and send us an email right now. If you'd like to leave us a message on the Today's Homeowner hotline, that's easy to do, and you can do it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 800-946-4420 is that number. I always like to remind you about the Today's Homeowner Facebook page. A lot of things going on there, a lot of content there, a lot of information that you can use, things that are very seasonal, things that are very topical, and you can also leave us any message there that will reach Joe and I on that. And so whatever project you're working on, we want to help, and you know, we realize that sometimes you might run into a little bump in the road. Well, again, that's what we're here for. So Joe, you know, even on our own personal projects, we run into a few problems. And
that's right.
One of the challenges I'm having is keeping a mailbox vertical. My mailbox
keeps
knocking it down. Tomorrow I'll be tackling my fourth restructuring of my mailbox, and nobody ever knocks on the door and say, oh, by the way, I just ran over and brutally mutilated your darn mailbox.
Yeah.
I have this custom built thing that matches my house and all of that. And
so you've been in the house 2 years and your mailbox has been knocked over four times.
Now,
maybe, are you putting it in the same spot every time?
Yeah, well, not tomorrow, I'm not. I finally came around to thinking, you know, that might not be the best spot for that mailbox.
After four times, maybe I should move it. That's right.
Because I want it to where when I drive up, I can, you know, open my, you know, I don't have to get out of the car and I can get it
exactly,
and everything like that.
And
of course, the mail person wants me to put it on the other side of the road. So I'm pretty sure it's them that are knocking it down to prove the point.
Yeah.
You know, they're hitting it every now and then. But my video cameras won't quite capture it. It did capture the FedEx guy running over it one time. And so I call and say, hey, just wanted to let you know you ran over my mailbox twice. You ran over it and then you ran over it again as you were leaving.
Well, it backed over it, then drove over it.
Is that FedEx ground or FedEx air? And I go, it was in a truck. I would assume it was ground.
Yeah, it wasn't an airplane landed on your lawn.
But I never could get them to respond. I never could get them to own up to it. And the video was a little, I mean, you could clearly see the logo, but I couldn't see the tag number or anything. But I knew exactly who they delivered to, when they delivered to, right down to the minute.
Right.
But they still couldn't. So it wasn't any big deal. I put it back up. But I don't know who ran over it the last few times. Could be Sharon. So she's not caving in on that. But anyway, that's one of my projects. What about you? What kind of thing you're tackling this weekend?
Well, my mailbox is leaning a little bit because of the snow and the plows. But I might straighten that up because we have, when the plows come by, and they're moving snow and it's wet snow, they put up a wake of snow that if you were standing there, it would absolutely knock you out of your shoes.
Boy.
So after a few snowstorms, the mailboxes, there are mailboxes scattered all over our town here in Roxbury that are just blown off of the post. Mm. Mine's pretty sturdy, but it is leaning a little bit because, you know, that wake of wet snow has been hitting it all winter. So I'll go and I'll straighten that up. But, you know, the lawn is a mess. You know, we have branches down all over the place from trees and we have a gravel driveway and I have it plowed, so you can just imagine what a plow will do to a gravel driveway. I put several hundred dollars worth of gravel down each spring, and then by the end of the winter, it's all plowed up into the woods.
Yeah.
So I have a friend with a tractor and a rake, so he'll pull it out and grade it back out. So I've got to have that done. It's just, you know, I'm finally, it's the middle of March, I'm moving outside. We do get snow ordinarily up and through April, but it doesn't last very long. It's not much, so I'm definitely ready to get out. How's your lawn look? I guess you guys had some storms blow through there.
Yeah, a little bit. A lot of leaves. So I don't necessarily need to mow at this point. But since I got that, I got
mowing.
This.
That's very funny. mowing. My mower's still under a tarp. Yeah.
But you know the mowing it, and I've got the super duper leaf gathering thing on the back of the mower.
Vacuum.
Yeah. That going over it, it'll just look so nice to get all of the leaves off and of course we talk about here on the show about leaf management that, you know, some people say, oh, it's great mulch, just let it, you know, die and go down in there. But it actually can create a mat that can kind of choke out grass a little bit.
Suffocate the grass and breed bacterial diseases. Yeah.
You don't have to get it all out. But I'll tell you what, I remember when I was a kid and, you know, the old fashioned get out there with the rakes and, you know, I had a lot of pine trees in my yard as I was growing up, so we had a lot of pine straw. But, you know, when you get out there with that rake and you've got a good metal rake or even some of the good, you know, fiberglass type rakes, and you're really getting that all of those leaves up, and the tines of that rake are, you know, raking over the topsoil, man, that's pretty good to open up that soil a little bit, kind of dethatching a little bit, you know, from time
that's
to
exactly
time.
Right.
And that does a yard a pretty good bit. So I've got to do a little bit of that soon with the lawnmower, and that should help out a lot in terms of really getting that yard to grow. And of course, we have the pre-emergent weed killer and so forth that we're putting out right now so that it can start sinking in.
Yeah, we've often talked about the importance of when you start mowing the lawn and aerating your lawn, but I don't know if we've talked much about dethatching. If you've not dethatched your lawn, you might not have to do it depending on your lawn and how many trees and everything else, but you should do it at least once every couple of years. And thatch is simply a buildup of dead plant material that falls down between the grass and covers the topsoil. And if you get enough of it, more than, let's say, 3/8 or 1/2 inch, you can start suffocating the lawn a little bit and preventing new lawn from growing. So you can dethatch it, which is, you can just use a rake, but they do have dethatching rakes, large ones you can drag behind a tractor or ones you can just use manually. And that's all it does, just pulls that thatch up. It doesn't harm the lawn, but it pulls the thatch up and kind of frees it up and gets oxygen and the water down there, because a really thick layer of thatch will prevent the water from going down as well.
And also, we talk a lot about aeration, and that's something that people, I've talked to homeowners about it, and they just, well, I've never done that. Why should I do that? And another, this is a great time of the year for that, to rent one of the machines that you can get very reasonably. And like we also say, hey, talk to your neighbors. Maybe you can share it with two or three people.
A core aerator, it's called,
Yeah, core aerator. You can go to todayshomeowner.com and read all about it, see videos of exactly how to do it, and you realize how easy it actually is. Some of the things over the next hour that we're going to tackle, fireplace mantles and some alternatives to really make that mantle look a lot better. Window repairs, there's a lot of problems with windows that maybe you're getting a little older, a little obsolete. Also, porcelain tile floors, are they a good choice? Well, we have the expert Joe Truini here that's written one of the best tile books you've ever seen. We're going to talk about that. Joe, what about the simple solution coming up?
Well, this time of year, you might be cleaning out your gutters and finding that they're not firmly attached to the house. I got a quick tip for making sure those gutters stay put right up against the house, nice and tight.
All right, there you go. You can see we've got a lot to share with you, so don't go anywhere. You're listening to Today's Homeowner Radio. We'll be right back.
The sound of you doing is music to our ears. Order on the Home Depot app and get convenient delivery, so you don't have to stop doing when you need something. The Home Depot app, how doers get more done.
So you like improving your home? Me too. Join me, Chelsea, at checkinwithchelsea.com for even more home improvement tips, tricks, and inspiration. I love improving my home and sharing the ups and downs with you so we can all learn together. Every month, I post a new project or how-to video with lots of other DIY posts in between. If I can do it, I know you can too. So drop by checkinwithchelsea.com or follow me on Instagram at checkinginwithchelsea.
Today's Homeowner is brought to you by The Home Depot, how doers get more done.
And you're listening to today's Homeowner Radio that's heard coast to coast on some awesome stations like this one in Liberal, Kansas, KSCB 1270 AM. Special thanks to John Mulhern and the whole team for having us on the air there. We're really excited to be a part of the KSCB family, and we look forward to helping you with any question that you may have while you're listening to KSCB. And we make it very easy for you to reach out to us. All you have to do is pick up the phone right now, 800-946-4420, or if you'd like to send us an email, just go to todayshomeowner.com/ask. We're going to get busy right now, head down to Florida. Lisa's on the line. Hey, Lisa, welcome to the show, and tell us what's going on with this fireplace mantle you have.
Well, I would like to remove it and replace it with a wood mantle, and I have no idea how to get it off the wall. It looks like it would be, anyway, difficult. So I need your help.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll tell you one thing I always ask myself when I'm starting to remove something. Do I want to save it? And that would be a question I would ask you. Are you trying? I mean, I'm looking at pictures of it right now. It's actually very, very attractive, probably cost a fair amount of money. Would you be looking at trying to salvage that? A lot of people are selling things online these days.
Oh, that's true. I think it might be heavy to ship, but no, I'm not planning on reusing it. And I do think it's been there since the house was built, so maybe 20 years.
Okay. Well, it doesn't appear that the corbels, the supports, are, it's just hard to know whether or not the ceramic tile goes behind that or not. Now, it may not, because it's very important that those corbels are supported well. So a lot of times they will install those first and then tile up around them. Can you tell by looking at it?
Yes, I can tell that the corbel has been cemented to the tile, but the tiles definitely look like they were on first.
All right. Well, either way, those tiles are not going to be presentable once you remove those. And whatever type of wooden mantle you put on there, the supports need to cover that same footprint or be slightly larger in order to cover up the tiles that are, you know, without a doubt going to be a different color or have glue residue on them or whatever. So that's something you'll have to consider. But as far as taking this up, the first thing you'll have to take the large mantle across the top up. If you're not planning on saving it, you can really, almost use a sledgehammer to bump it up.
Uh-huh.
You're going to want to go up with it a little bit. And once you get the slightest little crease form there, then you can use something like a crowbar to kind of slip in on top of the corbel and turn it loose. Once you start getting it to turn loose, it'll turn loose well. What I'd be concerned with is creating any damage to your wall or whatever you have on the hearth. On the floor, you'll have to make sure you protect it really well. I would suggest putting down a piece of plywood and a drop cloth there to help you in case you drop a section of that. But this is a pretty tough job and potentially a little dangerous, because if it's as heavy as it looks, you might be talking about 200, 300 pounds here. And that can certainly inflict a little bit of damage to those to those toes, those legs, fingers, and everything in between. So you'd want to be careful with that. But it all depends on how well they attached it and exactly the method that they did. But most likely, it secured pretty well.
Okay. See, and that's what I was concerned about. And I was thinking it definitely doesn't look like a one-person job.
No, it doesn't at all. And I would proceed very cautiously with it. And but if you're, you know, the thing about it, if you're not planning on saving it, then you can start chipping away at it. And I'll tell you, one of these small, we always call them baby sledges, the little baby sledgehammer that's, you know, about 12 inches long, is a lot more manageable than the large traditional sledgehammers. And that might be just what you need, maybe a little cold chisel to chisel around it. And that should allow you to kind of chisel away at it and get it out of there.
Okay. Good advice. I appreciate that.
Okay. After you get that nice wood mantle on there, we'd love to see a picture of it.
Okay. We'll do. And then see what I have to do when we get it off. I have no idea what's behind it, like you said. So it could be an adventure.
I think it will be. Well, best of luck to you. And so glad that you were part of the show today.
Okay. Thank you so much for letting me share.
Okay. Thank you, Lisa. Have a great weekend. Joe, what do you think on something like this? Because, you know, how would you attach those corbels if you were to install something like that, Joe? Because you wouldn't be able to, you know, with wood, a lot of times you can put screws through the front and then plug over them.
Right.
But with a masonry material like this, that's a little bit different. Also, I'm surprised that the tile does not go around it to actually help support it a little bit.
Yeah, I think she'll discover how those corbels are attached. And for listeners here, we're talking about a stone shelf, mantle shelf. So, you know, it looks like it's about 4 inches thick and maybe 5 or 6 feet long. It has two carved stone corbels holding it up from below. But I think what you might find is there's an iron bracket behind that corbel that the corbel fits over, and the iron bracket might be holding it up, because you couldn't just mortar that corbel straight to the face of the tile surround and expect it to hold up that stone.
Mm-mm.
But you're right. I think a sledgehammer hammering up to loosen it, what I would do is I'd clamp a 2x4 fit between the mm-hmm. corbels on the bottom of that shelf, then hammer up on the 2x4. First, it does two things. It'll hold those two pieces, because it looks like it's two pieces of stone. It'll hold those two pieces together so one doesn't fall, and it won't be sending chips of stone everywhere as you're hitting it, because you'll be hitting the 2x4. Eye protection, hearing protection, and cover the floor with like plywood or something, because when these stones fall, there's nothing to stop them. So you don't want to damage it. Like you said, you don't want to damage the floor as well. But yeah, I mean, you're just going to have to start tapping it, and hopefully it'll just loosen it up where you might be able to pull the whole thing out.
But you know, you think about it when you're looking at these pictures. Man, this is a good-looking fireplace.
Looks really nice.
I mean, I understand, you know, maybe some people could see the wood, and, you know, stained wood would kind of warm it up a little bit.
Yeah.
Yes, it would look, you know, look different and not such a, you know, stone kind of a look to it. But, boy, this looks pretty good.
I think it's beautiful. Yeah.
I would hate to go in there and do that. I almost, you know, another alternative I could have mentioned to Lisa is possibly staining the existing mantle. You know, you could actually darken it a little bit. You're not going to make it look like wood, even though there are methods that you can get close. But it just, that's a tough one. You know, the mantle I showed you and shared with you, the anguish I had in putting in my house.
I remember that.
You know, I was dealing with over 700 pounds, and even though they were in separate pieces, it took a while for it to come in. So, I progressed on the house and actually had my finished floor in. I had my walls in and things like this. And all of a sudden, I mean, I actually never realized it was going to be solid stone. I mean, cut out of solid stone. I thought it would be like, okay, we got a little stone here, and the rest of it's foam. You know, and I could tuck one piece under this arm and one piece. Man, oh man, we had dollies that we pulled in, and then I had to go to the auto parts store and buy a hoist.
Hoist? Yeah.
Then I took a 4x6 and built this big thing with 4x6 legs under it.
Oh my
secured
gosh.
It all off. All of this on top of my finished floor with plywood, drop cloths, and I'm sweating like crazy, saying I know I won't end up in the hospital tonight. And so I have these straps around it, and I'm pulling this thing up, and it's creaking and cracking, and I said, okay, this isn't good. This isn't good, you know. But we got it in place, and it looks beautiful, and it's the old one and done. No need for me to ever do that again. I think
good.
I have.
Didn't something crack though? Wasn't there something?
I had a tiny little piece on it that I'm actually think I have a repair kit for it, but you can't hardly see it. And you know, I might just say, well, that's the character. You know, it needs a little character there. You know, and I might stay with that because I'm afraid it's one of those things. You start trying to patch it, and you go, ooh, and it gets bigger and bigger. Next thing you know, you've really got an eyesore on the whole thing. So I don't want to go that route right now. But a lot of people look at different ways of, especially if you have an old brick fireplace, you know, the face of it is just kind of out of date and so forth. We got a lot of videos right. online at todayshomeowner.com about whitewashing it or lime washing it. And I think you'd be amazed at how quickly you can change the look of a fireplace by simply doing that. You'd be surprised on exactly what you can do. They're also installing tiles over it. We do that a lot. So a lot of information waiting on you at todayshomeowner.com. Coming up, we're going to talk about windows and replacement units. Or can you repair existing windows? There's a lot to talk about there, so don't go anywhere. You're listening to Today's Homeowner Radio.
Thanks for listening to Today's Homeowner. We're brought to you by Tite Bond, the Pro's Advantage.
And welcome back to the show where it's time for our best new product segment brought to you by the Home Depot. How doers get more done. One of the big trends in recent years has been making kitchens at home look and function more like professional kitchens. And the Sioux Pro Style pull-down faucet from Kohler is a perfect example of that. In fact, the manufacturer claims that the high arc and unique exposed spring design will bring life to your inner chef while offering exceptional control and flexibility. The two-function spray head features stream and sweep, a wide, forceful spray that makes cleanup a lot easier, and the magnetic docking arm keeps the spray head securely in place. The spray and spring head are detachable to make cleanup really easy, and the ceramic disc valves exceed industry standards by 2 times, so you'll get a lifetime of durable performance. And the faucet comes with quick disconnects and connect supply lines and a soap dispenser for very easy installation. Now, for more information on this Kohler Sioux Pro Style single handle pull down sprayer faucet, log on to HomeDepot.com. That certainly is a big trend over the last few years, is, you know, getting that more of a commercial look to kitchens.
Right.
Some people like it. A lot of people like it, especially since cooking seems to be a bigger and bigger trend than ever before. Another thing that we hear a lot about here on Today's Homeowner Radio, window problems and window issues. Right now, Tracy is joining us from North Carolina to give us a little situation that he's having at his house. Tracy, welcome to the show, and tell us about your windows there.
Thank you very much, gentlemen. It's an honor to talk to you guys.
Thank you.
I bought this house about 10 years ago. It's an 04 model. It's got a double window in the bedroom with one of those oval windows on the top of it.
Uh-huh.
And it has those vinyl slats in it in between the glass.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of them have turned loose on the outer edge and has fallen down to the bottom.
Yes, I see that in the photograph, Tracy. I see that now. There's a half-round window that had part of the grill is like rays of the sun shooting out, and there are 5 of them, except 2 of them have fallen off, kind of in between the glass, you say?
Yes, they're, I guess you might say, the double-sided.
Double pane? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I just wonder if that's replaceable, fixable. Is the whole window unit one unit, or is it just the oval can be replaced?
Yeah, I'm looking at the photograph, and it's 2 double-hung windows with a half-round window above it. And those are 3 separate windows. I mean, it may have come as one unit. The manufacturer molded them together, joined them together. So it may have been installed as one unit, but they are 3 separate units. But okay, so it's 3 separate units. Now what? Because this, you have the insulated glass, so you have 2 panes of glass, and the grill is in between the glass. Yeah, once the grill breaks off, I can't imagine why it would have broken off like that if it's in between. But in any case, now what do? You can call the manufacturer. If you look in the very corner of the glass, you can usually see an etching with the manufacturer's name on it. I'd be really surprised if it wasn't there. But even if it isn't, you can call a local glazier, someone who installs and fixes windows, and they would be able to let you know, come out and take a look at that and see if there's some way to get in there. If it is completely sealed, then there wouldn't be any way. They'd have to remove the interior pane, fix it, then replace it and seal it, which they can do, you know, but it would require removing and replacing or reinstalling that interior pane of glass.
So, Tracy, we're not talking about the entire frame, which is very important, so that it actually does not interrupt or interfere with your siding on the outside or your drywall inside. It's actually just that half glass. Now, a lot of times they'll come out. Of course, they'll measure it closely. A lot of times they'll actually take a piece of paper or cardboard and create a template out of it so that they can make sure they're getting the exact piece. They'll order that glass, they'll come out, and I'm telling you, they've got these little funny little tools, and those guys can pull that glass out, reinstall the new one in just a short amount of time. Really not that much of a problem.
And Tracy, we often get calls from homeowners who the seal between the two panes of glass has been fractured somehow, and so air and moisture is getting in there, and they get like fogging condensation in between the panes of glass. And they say, well, how can I repair that? Well, you can't repair it yourself, but a glazier will come out and take that window apart and put in a new seal and put in and replace or reinstall the glass. And that's the same person who can come out and repair this window for you.
That sounds great. It makes me feel a whole lot better. It shouldn't be that expensive.
Yeah, it's one of those things, too, that, you know, people probably won't notice it that much, but every time you go home and every time you leave, you probably see that little flaw up there, and that's what happens a lot of times in living in a home like that. But fortunately, on this one, it'll be a fairly easy and inexpensive way to correct it.
That sounds wonderful. A quick question. I hang a Christmas wreath on that window using suction cups.
Uh-huh.
Me applying pressure on that suction cup, you think that might have caused it?
I doubt it. You know, it's of course, you know, it's a good size window, so it does have a little bit of flexibility, but I wouldn't think that it would that it would affect it like that. There's just something happens, because you probably get some pretty intense heat there, you know, and whatever they did to attach that little spoke in the wheel there came loose. But I don't think that it would affect it very much. Joe, what do you think?
Yeah, Tracy, I'm not sure it would either, but I also tell you, I wouldn't hang the wreath back there once they fix it, because what if that is the issue?
Yeah.
What if that, you know, or hang it from above the window or below the window or someplace else. But yeah, I mean, would the weight of a suction cup with a wreath be pulling on that glazing on the window enough, the glass enough to cause those little spokes, the grill, to fall? I'm not sure, but you certainly don't want to go through the expense and time of repairing it and then being right back where you started, right?
Exactly. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Well, good luck with this. I'm sure you can get that repaired.
We've got some phone calls tonight. Thank you guys so much.
Okay.
Okay, our pleasure, Trace. You take care, and you have a great weekend.
You too, gentlemen. Thank you.
That's a unique problem.
You think about that window and the height of that window, Tracy's breaking out a pretty good sized ladder to put that. And then you're hauling, you know, and you have a situation like that where you really don't have a good place to lean the ladder. The ladder almost has to be leaned between the double windows and the half window above it. And all of that sounds tricky. And then you're hauling the big reef up there, and you're saying, honey, do you have to have this? Do you really want this up there this year? And so now he's going to be able to go back and say, hey, Joe and Danny said, I really can't hang that reef up there, honey. So
that's blame us.
Let's hang it on the front door. It'll be a lot safer.
I think you can get that fixed, but boy, you got to make sure it doesn't happen again.
Yeah, exactly. So get the right glass man to take care of it. You'll have that little problem behind you. Hey, when we come back, we're going to talk about porcelain ceramic floor. It's something that's really popular. A lot of people are confused about exactly the benefits of it. We're going to cut through everything and tell you exactly the good and the bad pertaining to this type of floor. You're listening to Today's Homeowner Radio. We'll be right back.
Are you hooked on home improvement? Then take our easy-to-understand practical advice with you wherever you go by downloading the Today's Homeowner podcast. With a fresh new episode every week, you'll always have access to the latest tips, tricks, and answers to your home improvement questions. It's like having Danny Lipford and his crew right there with you while you work. Subscribe to the Today's Homeowner podcast today through your favorite podcast app or visit todayshomeowner.com/podcast to learn more.
Even if you're not a professional woodworker, you want to use the glue the pros use. And 3 out of 4 pro woodworkers trust TiteBond as their choice. For building wood furniture or cabinets, to making picture frames or birdhouses, or just general repairs around the house, TiteBond has the widest choice of glues to help with whatever project you want to tackle. tight bond, the right glue for your next project. Just ask the pros. For more information, visit tightbond.com or see them on Facebook.
Chill in your home? Keep the cold out with Duck Brand Max Strength Rolled Window Insulation Kits. This window film creates an added barrier between warm inside air and the frigid temperatures outside, blocking drafts that steal energy and drive up your heating bill. The puncture-resistant film is 2 times thicker than standard window kits, so it's great for high-traffic or pet-friendly homes. And the crystal-clear film is easy to install and remove once warmer weather arrives. Visit duckbrand.com to find a retailer near you.
Is your concrete driveway, sidewalk, or patio looking old and worn? Time and exposure to the elements can cause concrete to flake, discolor, or just look dull. Now you can easily renew your concrete surfaces with Quikrete Recap Concrete Resurfacer at a fraction of the cost of replacing it, and you can do it yourself. Quikrete Recap will give you a durable new finish that will last for years. For more information on Recap, visit Quikrete.com. Quikrete, what America's made of. Gutter Brush is a simple gutter guard I've recommended for years. It's easy. Just slide 3-foot sections of gutter brush into your gutters and leave them there year-round to keep gutters flowing. Right now they're having their big fall sale, 25% off and free shipping with code DANNY when you order direct at gutterbrush.com. Most homes are protected for just $200 to $300. Visit gutterbrush.com or call 888-397-9433 to get free shipping and 25% off with code DANNY. Could your backyard use a makeover? You can create beautiful outdoor living spaces with Rumblestone from Pavestone. Create a paver patio or walkway, garden retaining wall, grill enclosure, fire pit, or even an outdoor kitchen. These rustic building blocks make it easy and they look great. Rumblestone from Pavestone is available at the Home Depot. And be sure to check out the project ideas and how-to videos at pavestone.com. That's pavestone.com.
Today's Homeowner is brought to you by Deitch Coatings. Easily roll on your new stone countertop, garage floor, and more in just a weekend with Deitch.
Hey, we want to hear from you and any of the challenges or questions or comments that you may have. We will listen and read every single one of them. You can send us an email anytime by going to todayshomeowner.com/ask or just pick up the phone. 800-946-4420 is the Today's Homeowner hotline. We'd love to hear from you there as well. Right now, we're going to go to Ohio. Michael's on the line with a flooring question. Michael, welcome to the show and tell us about this floor that you're looking at here.
Hi, glad to be with you. We have already put down new porcelain flooring planks.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been reading about them, and I'm wondering about the quality and durability over time.
Well, I tell you what, I'm looking at the picture of it. Certainly looks very nice. Looks like a cozy little den right there. And I'll let Joe try to handle this because Joe wrote one of the best tile books around. And Joe, I know that you dove into the porcelain tiles a little bit. What did you come up with and what would you say to Michael on this?
Yeah, well, ordinarily, Michael, people will call us before they put down the floor, so now it's down, so it's but the good news is, and for listeners, Michael put down a porcelain tile plank floor, so these are porcelain tile, but they look like wood planks, and it's very, very popular. I mean, it came out maybe like 20 years ago, and they couldn't manufacture this quickly enough, and if you're going to put down a tile floor, it should be porcelain. People are still putting some ceramic tile floors down, but I would highly recommend only porcelain. Porcelain is much more durable. It's harder. It lasts a lot longer. It doesn't resist cracking as ceramic. Ceramic on walls is fine, but not on floor. So fortunately, you have a porcelain floor. As long as it was installed correctly with the right amount of mortar and it's supported properly underneath, this wears like iron, and it wears as well as any other porcelain floor, whether it's square tiles or as opposed to these planks. You know, like any tile, the grout joints are always the part that needs maintenance. But as long as you repair them as they crack or they start to chip out or something like that. But the flooring itself is, like I said, it wears like iron. So I think it's a really good choice for any room. Some people find it a little cold because they walk in, it looks like wood and it has a warm look. Then you walk across, it's like, why is this wood so cold? Well, because it's not wood. But of course, you don't have to sand it or refinish it or anything. It doesn't stain hardly. The grout might, but the tile won't. So I think as long as it was installed correctly, and we don't know if it was, but let's assume it is, you're going to get, you know, decades of use out of this.
Mm-hmm. How often would you suggest that I seal the floor?
Well, you'd be sealing only the grout joints, and I would seal them maybe once a year, particularly in areas where you're walking. I wouldn't be moving furniture out of the way to seal the grout joints. But once a year with a clear silicone, put it down with like a an artist brush, a narrow artist brush, and just do the joints.
But you wouldn't seal the tile itself?
Nope, because it has a porcelain glaze, you know, it has a glaze over the porcelain body of the tile. So no, you shouldn't have to. I mean, you can clean it, obviously, like you clean any floor. But yeah, no, you don't have to seal the tile itself. The only tile you seal is stone tile or a clay tile that's unglazed.
Okay. Yeah, this project worked out very good. It took a long time, but it's now over. Now we're trying to put the pieces back together.
Good. Well, it looks great. Next time, call us before you put down the floor.
Yeah, I will do that.
All right.
You did a good job on it and taking that time to seal that grout. You'll be glad you did in the years down the road. But we appreciate you being a part of the show with us today.
All right. Thank you very much. Take care.
Okay, absolutely. Take care. Have a great weekend. Going right to our emails right now, and you can send us one. Todayshomeowner.com/ask. Aaron in Santa Paula, California said, "Hi, Danny. On your TV show, you recently installed a tile backsplash in a kitchen, which came out great. I'd like to do the same in our kitchen, but I don't remember how you made sure the wall switches and electrical outlets flush out with the new tile. Can you please explain which products or methods you use?" Joe, I think this is a great question because, you know, of course, backsplashes are a wonderful way to add a lot of personality and a very durable, cleanable surface in your bathroom or your kitchen, whether or not you're going, you know, the whole thing over all of your countertops or just over the sink or just over the stove. If you're encountering a switch or an outlet, you want to be very careful with it because you have to use outlet extenders, and they're available at any home center or electrical supply place that basically will space out. It'll still stabilize that outlet or switch, but you basically are removing the screws on the actual device, and then you're putting these little extenders behind it, and then you're tightening it back up. And they come in different thicknesses depending on the thickness of your tile. If you're not comfortable with it, it's something that an electrician routinely does and can help you out on that part of it. You can also go to todayshomeowner.com and see exactly how we did that project that Aaron's mentioned, as well as many, many others that we have there. Coming up, we're going to be sharing with you yet another simple solution. You'll want to hear this one. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. You're listening to Today's Homeowner Radio.
If there's a tip or piece of advice you may have missed, find it at todayshomeowner.com/radio. Danny and Joe will be right back.
Looking to update the look of your fireplace mantle? I've got just what you need at checkinginwithchelsea.com. Just search for fireplace plans for free printable plans. Then watch my how-to video of this simplistic but sophisticated design, and you're on your way to building your own fireplace mantle too. I can't wait to see what you build, so be sure to share your mantles by tagging me on social media. I'm at checkinginwithchelsea. Again, the plans and video are online now at checkinginwithchelsea.com.
When you're working with wood, it's important to have the right tool for the job. Whether you need hand tools, power tools, finishing supplies, or just some good advice, the place to go is woodcraft.com. If you prefer hands-on help, stop by one of the 75 Woodcraft retail stores where you'll find classes taught by woodworking experts plus all the latest woodworking tools and supplies. Woodcraft for all your woodworking needs. Visit them in person or at woodcraft.com or call 1-800-535-4486.
Transform your kitchen or bathroom with a beautifully tiled backsplash all by yourself in as fast as one day with SimpleMat from Custom Building Products. SimpleMat is a unique double-sided adhesive mat designed to bond tile to backsplashes, countertops, and shower walls. There's no mixing of powder, no mess to clean up, and no waiting for the mortar to harden. Simply set the tile onto the mat, then grout. It's the quickest, easiest, cleanest way to install tile. Visit thesimplemat.com for more information. Available exclusively at the Home Depot.
From installing a smart garage door opener to installing a bathroom faucet to removing a tree, the Home Depot believes you can do anything, especially the things we have how-to guides for. Visit HomeDepot.com for thousands of tips, workshops, and ideas for projects, big and small. The Home Depot app, how doers get more done.
And welcome back to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show. Hope everything's going well on whatever project that you might be tackling. If not, did you hit a bump in the road or any little problem that maybe surfaced? Well, that's okay. That's what we're here for at Today's Homeowner Radio. Give us a call on the Today's Homeowner Hotline 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at 800-946-4420. If you like sending emails, well, you know what? We like to get them. Send us one right now, todayshomeowner.com/ask. We're going to shift gears a little bit, send it over to Joe Truini for our simple solution. Joe, what do you have for us?
All right, Danny, this time of year, a lot of people are maintaining their gutters and trying to make sure they're cleaned out and working properly. So if your gutters are sagging, well, let me clarify that. If the gutters on your house are sagging, you notice a section of rain gutter is pulled away. Chances are the spikes that hold the gutter in place have pulled free from the fascia board. Most gutters are just nailed up with these long aluminum spikes that go through the front of the gutter and through what's called a ferrule, which is inside the gutter. It's basically just a tube of aluminum, and that allows them to hammer those in without crushing the gutter. But in any case, that's a notoriously weak connection, and over a long winter, you get wet leaves and snow, whatever, pulls those spikes free. So a lot of people go up there when they're cleaning gutters, just hammer them back in, but guess what? That's not going to hold very well because it's already been pulled out of that hole once. So what you want to do is replace it with a long structural screw. They used to be called landscaping screws, but they've changed the name of them. And anyway, it just basically looks like a long, narrow lag screw almost. And they come in various lengths, 8, 10, 12 inches, usually 8 or 10 inches, plenty long enough. And you can just run them in. Now, if you run it in and it spins a little bit, it means the hole is stripped out. So all you have to do is just pull it out, move it over like just a quarter of an inch, and just drive it through the same hole. It might be at a little bit of an angle, but it'll go in. And those screws really hold. I've replaced, I think, almost every spike in my whole gutter system. So that's what we're trying to do, replace those spikes with screws.
Joe, you're right. Over the years, you know, the gutters will settle, they'll shift. You're just not quite sure they're doing their job until you get up there. And when you're doing this kind of thing, you know, and take the time, you know, after the leaves are close to being finished, falling for a little bit, and you can clean that gutter really, really good. You know, you want to use gloves. You want to be careful on the ladder, particularly. Don't reach out too far and so forth. I also have shown many times on the Weather Channel and different other shows where you can take an antifreeze jug and actually kind of take a razor knife and shape a gutter scoop. It's perfect scoop down in there and get the debris out. And once you get it nice and clean and you can get your ladder in a position there, get a water hose, put a little water in that gutter and make sure that water's going where it's supposed to go. The downspout. And sometimes you'll realize, well, water's sitting over here. And then while you're repairing your gutter and adjusting your gutter, you might be able to lift that up a little bit when you're putting the screw in that Joe mentioned and correct that fall in it. Very, very simple, easy. You don't even need a level or any instrument. The water will tell you if it's going where it needs to go. Just a few little tweaks on your gutters there will make it work a whole lot better year round. Because if you have gutters, they're there for a reason. They may as well work as efficiently as possible. And keeping them clean is an extremely important part of maintaining your home. Hey, I want to remind you what you can see on Today's Homeowner Television this weekend. It's part one of our 80s kitchen update. Now, if you have cabinets that are stained and you have countertops that just really look old and worn out a little bit, well, you need to tune in to this particular show because we show a unique way of preparing the cabinets, very simple, and how you can actually correct a lot of the little dents and dings that you may have on those stained cabinets and how you can apply polyurethane over it in a very, very simple way. And also, we move forward with putting a coating on the countertop that makes it look just like stone. And LED lights. Boy, we put some LED lights in the ceiling, completely changed how the whole kitchen looked. You need to tune in. Go to todayshomeowner.com to find out where you can see the Today's Homeowner television show in your area. And we air on over 90% of the country, so you'll be able to see us somewhere. Well, that pretty much wraps up this hour of Today's Homeowner Radio. I'm Danny Lipford along with Joe Truini. Thanks so much for being with us.